Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City Darmstadt. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Just for a little bit here tonight so you can get to know me, and it is very hot. I think I'll get out of that light. It's very hot, but I'm an Australian girl, so I can take it. So, just so you get to know me a little bit and you know who Dave and I are, you've met him. He is eccentric and quirky, and something's happening with the blinds. Lovely, thank you. Very neat for a guy. Perfect, thank you. Wonderful. So, I'm Jenny. I'm 53. My husband and I got married when I was 19. And we have been in the ministry now for almost 34 years. And we came to England 28 years ago to start Hope City Church. So we left Australia, Dave and me, and I was 4 months pregnant. At the time, it was insane. We completely lived by faith, believed God for dinner, believed God for the church, and now God's done something absolutely awesome. And I'm going to share a little bit about something else I've done tonight, or we've done as a church, to sort of lead you into what I'm going to speak about. And so what many of you don't know, or some of you may or may not know, is that I've got a very interesting life story. And I was actually adopted at 10 days old, and I was born as the product of a gang rape. And so I was adopted out as a baby. And long story short, about 15 years ago, God really placed it upon my heart that I would start a charity called City Hearts. And it's grown and grown for 15 years. And we now have 170 staff. And we're subcontracted to the British government, and we rescue the survivors of modern-day slavery. So over the last 5 years alone, we've had over 5,000 survivors that we have looked after, rescued. Many of them become Christians. Many of them are still in church. And so now we've just expanded City Hearts. It's just opened in the Netherlands. It's in Aberdeen, in Ghana. We're getting a contract in Kuala Lumpur, and we're opening in Montreal next year. Now, I've shared all this for a reason, because I want to tell you a story about a girl who I'll name Jane. And Jane was one of our survivors that came through our program, beautiful young woman. And I get some funny places in my job because I have two jobs. I'm a senior pastor, and then I'm in charge of this charity. And I was in a Lord's castle in Scotland, as you do, like for a meeting. And one of the survivors came with us to share her story with this lord in this castle. It was exactly what you think. He was that eccentric. He was 89. He was like very, 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 very posh. Very, 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 very posh. And so Jane said to me, she said, "Guess where I'm going next Saturday?" I said, "Where are you going, Jane?" And she said, "I'm going to Princess Eugenie's wedding." And she had been invited by Princess Eugenie as a guest to go to the wedding. And I burst into tears. She said, "Why are you crying?" And I said, "Because she's somehow rather connected with Princess Eugenie. And Princess Eugenie has been round to her house for dinner." Just the most amazing thing, where royalty is aware of your charity. It's quite incredible. And I burst into tears, and it wasn't because royalty were aware of my charity. It was because of this scripture where it says in 1 Samuel 2 verse 8, he said, "He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor." And you know, God has set out an invitation to all our lives that is just incredible. And I constantly am blown away by the places that I end up when I know that I'm the baby of a gang rape from Brisbane, you know. And there's a whole lot more to this story, which I can tell you after, but I just don't want to be recorded right now, because there's all sorts of developments going on in my family right now, and people I'm meeting, and all sorts of stuff. But you know, I was never invited to start City Hearts. No prophet came to town and laid their hand on my head and said, yea, verily, verily, saith, saith. None of that. Nobody ever did that, right? Nobody ever laid their hands on me and said, you will be a preacher or you'll be a pastor. Like, it just never happened. It's because we think that the invitation to our destiny has to come from people. But the invitation was laid out before the beginning of time for my life from the King of Kings. And he's laid out an invitation for your life individually tonight. You don't necessarily need the big honcho prophet to come to town and tell you that you're going to be mighty. Because if we're waiting for someone to tell us we're mighty, we're missing the invitation. Because it's God himself who lays out an invitation to our lives. It came from heaven just as yours did today. And you know, when I was praying about tonight, it's almost like I saw, you know, when you get a wedding invitation and it's placed on you, you get it, it's all embossed with gold print, so-and-so is invited to the wedding. And if you're really, really special, you get invited to the reception as well. And then in England, if you're really, really special, you get invited to the day do and the night do, because they have lots of do's. A wedding in England goes on for hours and hours. You're like dropping in your high heels if you're a woman. They end up coming off your feet. But I had a picture in my spirit that's like the gold card invitation to Hope City Darmstadt. And the gold card invitation to your life is sitting in the hall table waiting. And it's like we walk past and we look at it. But the Holy Spirit's asking us to actually pick up the invitation. I can feel the invitation in my spirit, and it's the potential, it's an invitation to your latent potential. It's an invitation for you to occupy territory. And God's, it's got it there, it's seated. I remember when I was a little girl, there was, I was brought up by parents that were a couple of generations older than me. So my dad passed away when he was 65 and I was 16, so they were quite older parents. And they had a pianola in the hallway, and it was one of those pianos that you could play, or you could get your feet on the bottom and you put things in and it played for you. But it was almost like I was hopeless. I had about three lessons and I did what I was good at, and I just kept running track and left the piano. And the funny thing is, now my son is just the most amazing piano player, so he's picked it up, the next generation. But it's almost like that piano sat in the hallway waiting to be played. And I could sort of see in my spirit as I came here tonight that there is a sound of the kingdom of God that is waiting to be played in Darmstadt. Wow. And there's a sound of the kingdom of God that's waiting to be played through each of our lives. Yes. And what we tend to do, because we're human, is we compare the melody that God has given each one of us to someone else's melody. And therefore, we never play. And I want to say to you tonight, you are invited to destiny. I know it's written upon the tablet of my heart. My life scripture is Jeremiah 1 verse 5, and it says, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. And obviously for my life, that's pretty crucial. And it's like destiny was written upon my life before I was born. God knew the plans he had for me. And destiny is written upon your life tonight. He knows the plans he has for you, plans for good and not for evil, plans to give you a hope and a future. God has an invitation laid out individually to each one of our lives tonight. It's an invitation of heaven to lead a generation of people who as yet do not know the good news of Jesus Christ to complete freedom. I think I'm going to go a bit off notes tonight. I can just feel the Holy Spirit. Awesome. I had this wonderful survivor, a gentleman, because we have men's houses as well, rescuing men that have been trafficked into labor exploitation. And this wonderful man came up to me with a piece of paper, and I keep it in the back of my Bible. And he wrote me, he said, I have lost everything. I have nothing. But I have gained Christ. So therefore, I have everything. And this man lives in a one-bedroom flat, all on his own, like a studio apartment, all on his own. All his family are gone. And he wrote me a letter like that. And I just thought, we sometimes take so for granted the beauty of the salvation that we have inherited and the destiny that is written upon our lives. So I'm going to tell you a little bit how City Heart started. And the Holy Spirit began to whisper possibility in my ear. And funnily enough, I started City Hearts with Siobhan's sister, Colleen, me and her, and an idea. But let me just go back a bit. And I remember saying to God, God, how do I start? How do I start? And if you've got a pen and paper tonight, you're ready to write down the words that God spoke back to me. It's life-changing. Pick up your pens. Are you ready for the life-changing thing? They got their pens out. This is what the Holy Spirit... I'll wait till you've got the pens in your hand. This is what God said to me. He said, just start. Just start. And you know, you're like, I got my pen out. I got the paper out. But the Holy Spirit just wants us to start and to take a step into our future. For some of us tonight, it's just start. For others, it's just start again. But wherever the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, his purpose is clear. It's time to gather momentum. And it strikes me, I was reading again in the story of Elijah in 1 Kings. He's just about to take a photo and I was scratching my head like a monkey. They take really, the older you get, the less you like the photos they take of you on the platform. But I'm going to read to you tonight just a little bit from the story of 1 Kings, with Elijah's story. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 18, this verse 44, the seventh time the servant reported, a cloud the size of a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. And meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, and a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. This was a moment when possibility was only the size of a man's hand. Sometimes in our lives, we're waiting for a tsunami. And God has given us a faith word that is this small. But if we would just gather momentum on that tiny faith word, who knew that 15 years later, City Hearts would be the beast it is today? Who knew when Dave and I got on a plane from Australia 28 years ago, that thousands of people would be worshiping God in Hope City Church? That's what you don't see when you're here. You've got to realize that 28 years ago, we were in our first location in a room this size. And God knew what he had in store if we would just keep turning up. Amen? In Jesus' name. The invitation tonight is handed to us by God, and it's our decision to respond, to engage with our God-given purpose. And I know that the demons of hell and all the intricacies of life will try to stop you and conspire against you to starting. Oh, I can't start now because of this, 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 and the other. Let me tell you, I couldn't start. I'd moved to the UK. I had Ryan 4 months after we arrived. We knew nobody in the country. I was a new mum and we planted a church. Listen. We can do this. We can step out and just start. Siobhan and Steve moved to Germany when Levi was literally 6 months old and planted a church in Frankfurt. We sometimes are so dwarfed by the crazes and pressures and things that everybody else is doing, we fail to fulfill our unique purpose. God hasn't changed his mind about your life and your purpose. He just wants to anoint you starting. So, are you with me tonight, church? I want to talk to you tonight about a guy called Gideon. The story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. And let me paint the picture by reading you a little bit in the scripture of what was going on when Gideon was hiding. Okay. So it says here in Judges 6, again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, that sounds like our Monday, right? The Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern people, I love that, don't you, the Bible, they're saying other eastern people, because they just couldn't be bothered going through them all. So they just said other eastern people, invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gazna and did not spare a living thing for Israel. Do you ever feel like that? Neither sheep nor cattle nor donkey. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. That's Tuesday. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. And Midian was so impoverished, the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. This was an impossible situation that Gideon found himself in. People were hiding, they weren't advancing, they weren't coping. They're under incredible attack. Am I talking to you now? How we feel sometimes in our lives. And then it says about Gideon in Judges 6:11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down. That'd be a good day if an angel came and danced on your duvet, wouldn't it? On the end of your bed. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah. She's there. There she is. Oprah's in the bubble. That belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. Now let's think about Gideon. We so often, don't we, when we think about the story of Gideon, because it's what we've been told we ought to think. We've been told that we need to think, there he was hiding away. He shouldn't have been hiding away. But God gave me a real good understanding of Gideon. Here was a guy who was still doing what he could do under pressure. He was still, he knew he could produce, he could thresh in a wine press. So he kept producing in secret and in private when nobody was watching. Wow. And the reason the angel of the Lord came and sat on the end of his bed or under the oak tree is because God anoints those and comes and has time for those who have been seeking God when no one else is looking, who have kept producing when there is no audience, who have kept loving him when no one can see your faith life. But a time comes when God says, I've seen you and I've seen what you've done in private. And now I hand out an invitation for you. Hope City Church, Darmstadt. Now I lay out an invitation for you to be mighty and for you to step out of just being in the wine press. And I just got a new understanding of Gideon. I thought he was a guy that just kept doing what he could do. And no, there was no one watching. And God celebrates those who maintain production without an audience. He's got great respect and time who those who do things in obscurity, who choose to do what they can do. And then God says, now I want to come. And now I want to anoint the skill that you have honed under intense pressure. I'm speaking a word to you tonight. God wants to come and anoint the skill that you have honed under pressure when nobody was watching except you and your audience of one. God has skilled you without an audience. He's been watching over you. He's been watching you maintain integrity. He's been watching you pray for the city of Darmstadt. He's been watching you believe for a better day. But I want to say to you tonight, the wine press is not your permanent address. It's not your permanent address. Don't you love the way Gideon responded? Because it's the way we all respond. So the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and he said, the Lord said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. But what did Gideon say back? He didn't say, I know. But it's amazing the human response, isn't it? When God says, I'm with you, you're a mighty warrior. I want you to start. I want to do something with your life. God comes and affirms you. And he was affirmed as a mighty warrior, Gideon, because he had fought the battle of confinement. and maintained a sense of purpose when nobody was celebrating. And the Lord turned to Gideon and said, go in the strength you have. Save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? But then Gideon said, how can I save Israel? Hello. How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. Think about Jane in the wedding of Princess Eugenie. And I'm the least in my family. And the Lord answered, I will be with you. So God invites Gideon with an angel sitting under the oak tree. He invites him to step out on what he'd won in the secret place. And Gideon's immediate response was, I need to upskill. Because we never feel qualified to be mighty. Do you know, I've been in church, like I'm a very, very, very old lady now. I've been in church a very long time. And there's certain groups of people who think God can't use them until they have a doctorate. Or multi-degrees. Or I'm never ready until. And education is wonderful and it's great. But my Bible says go in the strength that you have. I started City Hearts on the strength of my story. That's it. And now I have psychologists working for me. Go in the strength you have. You do not need to upskill to start. You just need to start. And the breath of heaven will go through your life in Jesus' name. We love to say to God, this is not an opportunity, not an opportune moment for me to start. Let's go there. Opportune moments. You say, well, I'll wait. I feel really dreadful right now. So new baby at the back. You're very cool. Just be new baby. But I'm just about to say something that's just going to be so awful. So just put your fingers in your ears. I planted a church with a two-week-old baby. Just saying. And we like to wait. We say, well, God, this is not an opportune moment. I will wait until my kids are grown. Or, Father, I will wait till a husband comes along. Ladies, single ladies, all the single ladies. A whole nother level of complexity comes in your life when a husband comes along. So I would say, serve God with your singleness. Because when a Dave Gilpin walks into your life, you are managing a complex man now for 33 years. So don't wait for the bloke to walk into your life. Allow God to use you. And number two, just while we're on that issue, ladies, look at me now if you're single. Don't settle for an idiot. Okay? You need a man of God that can lead you, okay? It's because I'm old and I'm gray, though you can't see it. And I can tell you stuff now that I've seen. Ladies, don't settle. Young men, don't settle for an idiot girl. Anyway, I'll just back in my lane now. It's important. We'll say, God, it's not an opportune moment because my finances aren't lining up. No, they're not. Because God wants you to live by faith. God wants you to realize that your pay packet is not your provider. Your Heavenly Father is your provider. We had the most amazing moments when we were planning church, early, early days. And my son's really, really hyperactive. He's 28 now, and he's still really hyperactive. And I remember thinking to God, we had no money. We would put knife and fork on the table and believe for dinner in those early days. We had no financial support. We believed God for everything. And I remember thinking back in the early days, oh, God, I'd love to have, you know, one of those baby bouncer things that you put in the door that you can hang your children, not hang. that you put your children in and so they can sort of bounce from the doorway for a minute and just give me 1 minute off. Because my son really was a 1 minute off kind of child until he found the piano and then we were good to go. And I remember just thinking to God, oh, I'd love one of that. We had no money. The next night, the water tank was leaking in the loft. So Dave, because he's so gifted with DIY, he went up into the loft and there was one thing in the loft, a baby bouncer. And you know, I had the most amazingly beautiful conversation with my son. He's a real man of God now. The other day, and he said, Mum, he said, have you got that picture of me on the baby bouncer? I said, yeah, I have. Do you want me to send it to you? He said, I've begun to realize, Mum, that that wasn't just about you, God providing for you and Dad. It was because God loved me and he knew I needed it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was a mum moment. Yeah. For your adult son to say stuff like that is just... So he didn't suffer from Dave and I doing what God had called us to do. In actual fact, he's a man of God because of it. And he's had moments in the last 5 or 6 years where he could have quit, and he's turned to Dave and I every time and said, you and Dad never quit, why would I? Your children do not suffer by being in the house of God. Health. Right, let's do the health thing, shall we? Because we're talking about inopportune moments here. Do you want to know my secret tonight, guys? I have 2 artificial hips. Yes, I do. I am titanium. Around the world, I walk through airports with my hands in the air. Frisk me one more time. Because I did too much running when I was younger and I wore the little suckers out. But I've had some real health challenges. I had some major health challenges in my 40s and times when I thought that I wouldn't get up again. But God is faithful. God is so faithful through 2 hip replacements in my 40s, through some massive stuff, through my mum dying, through so much going on. And God is faithful. And we'll always say there's an inopportune moment to serve God. But if we waited for opportune, it'll all be over. Because we are never prepared to make the first step. Because we always think there needs to be another layer of anointing upon our lives to do anything. So I'm just here to you tonight to invite you to the table and say, God wants you just to start. Yeah, great. We say, Father, I want to wait until my spirit feels completely ready and free. You will never be ready enough and you'll never be free enough. Because I think growing as a Christian is getting freer and freer and freer as you go older. Inopportune is a prison sentence designed to assign you a life in jail. I want to invite you tonight to say yes to the invitation. God says, tonight your qualification came when you sought me secretly, and now it's time to go with what you have already in your hand. It may seem insignificant, but God takes the insignificant and specializes in placing his power upon weakness. That's what my God does. It's amazing how God comes and anoints what's in our hand. He anoints our story and our unique experience. God has taken my very unique story. I'm going to return at the end of my message today to a scripture I used at the beginning, where the cloud the size of a man's hand was the beginning of Elijah supernaturally running all the way to Jezreel. The momentum of faith propelled Elijah to run. He didn't have the full picture. We never have the full picture. When I went to Bible college when I was 18, I thought I was going to pastor a church on one of Queensland's most lovely beaches, and I ended up in Sheffield. He didn't have the full picture, but he had a birthing. He had an invitation of what was to come, and he tucked his cloak into his belt and he ran. And I've just got a picture in my spirit tonight that tonight is a cloak tuck. Tonight is a night where we tuck the things that previously have hindered us and we say, God, I'm going to run. God, I am going to do this. God, I'm not going to wait a moment longer. I'm not going to wait for opinions, permission to tell me that I have something to give to the kingdom of God. And it says in 1 Kings 18, after a long time in the 3rd year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and the famine was severe in Samaria. They had severe famine, and then God took Elijah to the top of a hill to look out over the sea. And his spirit caught the smell of faith and future in a tiny cloud, and the invitation was given. And he ran. He tucked the inconsequence of circumstance in his belt and he chose to believe. He tucked doubt, he tucked fear, he tucked the circumstance of life, he tucked the inopportune, he tucked the lack of finance, he tucked all the children. He tucked everything into his belt and he ran because he saw the size of a man's hand, faith and future. Do you know, I've said this in Frankfurt this morning, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm a breakthrough agent. That's my gifting. So I know tonight that you're going to have breakthrough over your life because it's the anointing upon my life. It's two things that happen when I preach. Broken people get healed because I have an anointing over brokenness, and people get breakthrough in their life. And I'm believing tonight that many of you are going to be released from the inopportune and you're going to take a step in Jesus' name. Is anybody with me tonight? Your skill and your suitability are not inviting you to walk into a God-given future, but God is. Your peer group is definitely not inviting you, but God is. Your bank balance is probably not inviting you, but God is. This is the invitation. It has been specifically written by the hand of the groom. And it's been laying on the hallway table for way too long. You are to go in the strength you have. For there is a sound of heavy rain. Now I'm going to do what my husband tells me I'm good at. He says, shut your notes down, Jen, and talk to the people. As a person, you're not going to believe this, but it's true, and these guys will vouch for me. I'm naturally shy. So when there's a party on, Alice runs the party. And I sit and watch. And I thought that God couldn't use me. That was my excuse. And I used to hide behind Dave for years until God started to convict me. I am in love with this lady. I've just met this fellow Australian tonight. And there's a call of God on your life. And you ran. But you're running back in. You're running back in. You're running hard. Oh, wow. And you don't need all those things we were discussing to be that girl. This is the beginning of something really new and special for you. Wow. There's pulpit ministry all over your life. You have a word in your heart. You have a sound. She's snot ragging now. There's a sound in your spirit and it's waiting to roar. It's waiting to roar. And you've watched a lot of your peers become that person. And the lie of the enemy to you has been that you can't be that person. Because of your experiences. And God would say to you tonight, no, your experiences give you a voice. Your experiences give you that voice. You have the ability to minister into situations that nobody else has because you have not experienced that. They've not experienced it. It's a whole new day for you. This is a fresh start. In Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City?